You never get this, do you? Hello, and welcome to a special live episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are coming to you live from Belltown Yacht Club. Love it. Cheer if you're wearing nautical gear. I see you out there, Tyler.
Is there one?
Just one. He's upset that Infrared didn't wear it.
Well, we felt like we had to kick this whole thing off. Peltoncast Live. You heard me this week say...
Third annual Peltoncast Live.
Yes! Yes!
Dramatic fifth season of Ballers on HBO. No. We had to kick this
off.
We're
getting that.
If anybody is out there drinking a Rainier Tallboy, can we get a toast? We have 120 Rainier Tallboys to drink tonight, so everybody better get drinking.
I mean, I count almost 20 out there. We're doing well. We're off to a good start. We get the whole night, right?
All right. Well, we actually don't. There's a Brazilian metal show happening after this. We gotta go fast.
But we can move them out. We got a heart out at 9. It's not a joke. Why are you laughing? It's not a joke.
I want them to sit in these four open seats in the front row, the Brazilian metal band.
Yes. We've got a great show for you tonight. First off, DJ Infrared is here. He's going to be permanently on the microphone, is full-time heckler.
Oh, my God. Who approved
I
this?
I just want to bring attention, if these are free, that my friend Josh here bought a Rainier in a bottle.
It's all right. Some people, I see a Tecate
out
there.
They're not free.
The King of Ballard bought a Tecate, did not buy a Rainier. We're good.
He's already been deported.
Yeah. He sounds more like the King of Sacramento, California.
Shots fired? We've got live Talk and Taco time with Josh Sanger.
Oh, my God.
Third Pelton brother Ben Baldwin will help us preview the 2019 Seattle Seahawks, and you will see that he looks just like Brian Schottenheimer
in person.
Some
cosplay happening.
And the decider, Zach Whitman, will join us to crown Seattle's best sandwich. You can do better than that.
There we go. All
right, a quick note on the bingo cards under your seat. Be sure to use the markers to record when we discuss or mention various topics throughout the podcast.
This is important.
If you think you have a bingo, yell it out and then take it to the famous Cousin Katie. Where's the famous Cousin Katie?
Katie's judging this?
Yeah.
She's going to be like, no, that was not mentioned.
She's got to determine what's mentioned. You got to keep running tally of that.
Be pretty liberal with it. Okay, so
you can
get a bingo in two ways. The first bingo will be a traditional bingo.
We're going to do this?
Yeah, of course we're going to do this.
Oh, I don't know if this is a good idea.
This is a great idea. The first bingo will be a traditional bingo, 5 in a row, diagonal, vertical, horizontal, whatever you'd like. The second bingo will be if you can make a P shape from your bingo card for a Fabulous Pelton Cast hat. You know what the P is for. The first bingo is also going to be a Peltoncast hat. So no matter what we're doing in the show, holler it out. Interrupt us. Be like, wow, that feedback is something. Be like
hot
DJ
mic.
Infrared on the mic, the Peltoncast official ombudsman. Interrupt us even if we're in the most serious conversation about taco time that you've ever heard. Holler out that you have a bingo, and we will have Katie apparently judge that you're getting a bingo and throw a hat to you.
I think I have a bingo right now.
We can't edit this out. We're live. All right. You need to do another toast.
Well, no, we haven't done any toasts. Oh. I mean, I guess we just toasted to the existence of Rainier. But we need to start with a toast.
The other thing is, if you should want a Rainier Tallboy, Kevin Pelton is the name on the card at the bar. No, it's actually not.
I'm not starting a tab. So. You can try. Do what you can. We got to do a toast to the newest member of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. The one and only Sonics legend, 79 champion, 40th anniversary of that.
You sure included a picture of yourself in this.
Should I not have done that? It's a good photo. Thank you, Zach. To Jack Sikma, everybody.
All right, to Jack Sikma. There we go.
Are you guys the same height?
Someone asked whether two of me equaled him.
All right, well, everybody had pizza courtesy of our good friends at Pagliacci Pizza earlier.
Let's toast to Pagliacci.
This is Pelincast Live, though.
We don't give you just one food item.
You know we had to do it to him.
Bring him out, Chris.
Oh! There we go.
I got beef. I got beef.
He has been in the pack. All right, while Chris hands out a lot of taco time, he's having flashbacks to his two stints of working at Taco Time. Yes. Mike, can you help us with this?
Oh, yeah.
Mike, get a taco. All mics, can you help us with this? We have courtesy from our good friends at Taco Time. Cactus cards for Taco Time. You are throwing these at people. There we go. Hello. Where's Randy at? Randy, you need one of these. There you go. Infrared. There you are. Wu-Sang. Sorry about that. King of Balor. There we go, baby. How many did you throw? Wait, where? Hello. There we go.
Wait.
Do I
you
see,
not throw that
do
one?
I see Nate and Tyler back there?
We don't need to keep any.
There you are. Oh. Tyler. Coming at you. In the back. Woo! These are going to be all over the floor. People got to have their heads up. Yeah, that's what we're about. Does anybody else want a Taco Time cactus card? Right here?
Yo, one more.
There we go. Oh, there we go. I just hit Katie. Thanks for making the bingo, Katie. Anybody else? We have two more cactus cards left from our good friends at Taco Time. In the back? I'm gonna run back there. I see two in the back. I'm getting a Rainier while I do that.
I've got a fill during this period of time?
I am not joking.
Are there no churro
bites? Sorry, no Mexi fries. It's not a diverse offering, but...
Take your Rainier bottle and go over there.
You know what that sound means. It's time to talk taco time.
Fresh, delicious.
Oh, yeah. Should we have done that? I'm Kevin Pelton.
I'm Tristan Carcino.
And I'm Chris Smith.
And we're talking taco time.
And I'm the guy with no sauce for his crisp burrito.
Look, you got free taco time. Be cool.
So no sauce? No sauce? Did you guys get sauce?
Yo,
no,
I
do you want some sauce? Yes, hell yes.
Kind of
who doesn't bring sauce? You guys go to Taco Time and not get sauce?
We got free Taco Time.
Hey, hold! I ate free Taco Time for 6 years of my life, and none of it was without sauce, though.
All right.
Well, thank you. Were you transporting it to a different location?
We should have had 100 sides of ranch, 200 sides of hot sauce.
And three, 120 facts. Rainier tall boys.
Three sides of Thousand Island for those motherfucking weirdos out there.
My car's parked like 2 blocks away, but there is like half a cilantro lime.
That shit goes a long way. Go you only that. Need like one side of cilantro lime for four people.
So our guest tonight, who's complaining to you about his lack of sauce, is Josh Sanger from The Crocodile in Rain City, who is also noted online at Wu-Sang on Twitter for his 49ers fandom. Thank you. Thank you. How'd you enjoy that Jimmy G preseason?
Third game was fun. Third
okay.
game.
Okay.
Okay. ACL.
Which practice was it where he threw five consecutive interceptions?
Hey, I didn't agree for infrared to be here during this whole game. Number one. I just want to let y'all know. This is like a sneak attack.
It's a famous Pelton Cast sneak.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd listened to the Pelton Cast, you would have known.
I do. I listen. Okay. I listened. There's a break. I listen to some of them. It's I can't fine. Listen to all of them.
Nobody does. Is this mic working?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Josh, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Please, tell us your Taco Time credentials.
You guys have ran out of guests, apparently.
That's not true. We have some very exciting Taco Time
Jake
one's
in Japan.
Yeah, Jake's in Japan. I eat at Taco Time. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
I know of Taco Time. I listen to your podcast.
How long have you been eating at Taco Time? Maybe answer that question for us.
Taco Time Northwest?
Yeah. Oh, because interesting. Okay. All right.
Or,
I mean, not everyone.
Taco Time Northwest, 2005.
Not everyone grows up with Taco. Is blessed to grow up with Taco Time Northwest
exactly.
in their lives.
No.
We were fortunate to do so.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah. For everybody that doesn't know, Taco Time International, very different. Very different.
Talking
very
Taco Time,
shitty.
They know.
Very shitty. So.
Wyoming. That's why.
Yeah,
there's one in Chicago. I recently learned.
When did you realize that they were different?
When I moved here.
Yeah, with the first
2005. Yeah. Oh yeah.
This is the most informed group of human beings about the difference between the Taco Times in the entire world.
You guys aren't really informed though. You're semi-informed
because we haven't experienced.
You haven't experienced the actual. Taco Time International.
I mean, one time in Walla Walla we did.
Yeah, no.
So why did you go to Taco Time Northwest if you didn't think Taco Time International was very good?
It's a great question. Thank you.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
I feel like I went there. Well, you know, you smoke weed, you go to the fast food place. And we went to Taco Time, and it was fucking great. Kirkland. I think it was Taco Time Kirkland. Wherever.
Rose Hill?
Wherever
Rose
that Hill is.
Location. Rose Hill is the
Rose
greatest
Hill.
All-time Taco Time
yeah.
location.
No, it's not. It's not.
Is that the one on 85th?
Yes.
Not heckling, just informative.
Yeah, very very different. You know, delicious. Unlike
and,
the
and
other
one. And you quickly
one.
Realized that this was a different Taco Time.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Right.
Oh, okay, so at Taco Time Northwest, what is your go-to order?
Mexi platter.
Interesting.
Who doesn't get the Mexi platter?
Someone shouted out the Mexi platter.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Okay,
Mexi
okay.
platter. So y'all
what's the taco burrito combo? What are you going with? Which meat or
well,
protein?
Chicken crisp burrito.
Okay.
Yes.
And then
yes.
regular beef taco.
All think right. I think the that's the greatest Mexi.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing.
The Mexi
Listen,
platter.
For
of
most
all time.
Of us, you don't go combo. You don't want a drink necessarily. I got a drink. I already have a drink.
It's a Rainier bottle.
Right. Well, it's usually a Heineken bottle. But I have a drink at home. I'm not trying to get another drink. I love the Taco Time Ice. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not a soda person necessarily.
Taco Time Ice.
Thank
cheers,
you.
Cheersing to that. Okay.
It's
but, not on the bingo card.
But Mexi platter. Y'all don't... Yeah, I heard a lot of hate on the Mexi platter. You had your first Mexi platter?
Yo, I've been eating Mexi platters since they were called Mexi meals. Okay?
Exactly. But not you. The rest of the crew...
My man.
Some of us
just, him.
Just think crisp tacos are total garbage.
Ooh. Total garbage is very strong.
That's
it's
not
a,
true.
It's a waste of an item in a platter.
That's not true.
Or a meal.
You just got to take out the little salad and get some extra fries.
I like the salad. The salad makes me feel like I'm doing a healthy option. Shout out Infrared. and exactly. That salad makes me feel like I did something. I'm like, I had a salad?
It's a scoop of iceberg lettuce with a slice of tomato on
That's what I said, salad.
I mean, if that counts in teriyaki, why doesn't it count in Mexico?
So I had, I had a fucking salad. So I had a
negative
calorie food. I had a salad, and then you get the chips with the beans with the cheese on it. Mm-hmm. So you scoop that, you eat that, and then you get the remainder of your Mexi fries, which you also scoop with the beans, and it's a fire combination.
What's the
are missing out.
What's the dressing that you choose?
I go ranch.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's one does.
I'm half white. I go ranch. You know.
He said what we were all thinking.
Also, I would like to bring up, I remember like a couple years ago or last year.
God, we're being interviewed on Taco Taco Time.
Yeah, you guys did the interview with the dude from the chicken spot in West Seattle.
Campaign from Mom.
Yeah. And he was like, the fucking sauce is trash.
Oh, hating on the hot sauce. I was
fuck
pissed.
That guy.
What? I was fucking pissed.
What?
Wow.
Talking and calling it snot, bro.
I made
that hot sauce.
I went to chef school and blah, blah, blah. Come on, dog. Fuck
Talking
you.
Taco Time, remember? Yeah.
I hope thank you.
Too much xanthan gum in the hot sauce.
Exactly. Fuck that guy.
It's like the hot sauce came out of my sinus infection.
Yeah.
Sincere apologies to Cam Hayden.
All right, well, so much for the idea of having Mark Fuller on the pod if Mono wins later.
If you don't have a half of hot
sauce
in your refrigerator,
can you
be
fine? Exactly.
No.
Hey, or at least Taco Bell.
Back in the day, they used to blow up, so you couldn't keep them in your refrigerator. This shit used to just blow up. After about 5 days. They had to readjust the recipe, so now it doesn't blow up.
Hot sauce.
You never know, man.
So were you always on the Mexi platter, or are there any past Taco Time Northwest items that you missed from the menu, or I guess Taco Time International?
That was a Josh Sainer sigh, by the way, for your bingo cards.
I've had everything. You know, I'm not one of those people that rolls up like, what's the casita burrito? I've had that.
I feel called
I've had the enchiladas. Yeah. Like, you know, what I've learned from you guys hosting this podcast is you guys haven't had a bunch of stuff at
some
point.
You should be hosting the podcast.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, essentially. I was like, you guys haven't had, what? You didn't know you could add this? Is this not a thing? You didn't know you could add chicken to the fucking...
They don't confront me a lot of times. They just go off on some shit. You got to come to the dude.
Right.
I'll let you know, man.
Sorry, whose podcast is this again?
Well, mine now. I'm taking over.
Oh, my God.
Me and Josh.
I'm a satisficer. When I find something that's good enough for my taste, and now any chicken, you know, soft taco with Mexi fries in it, that's good enough for me. I don't need to mess around with other stuff.
No, I agree with that.
Yo, but you put those Mexi fries in the soft taco, then you take that over to the fryer, you put it in the basket, you put the little weight on it, put that down for like a minute and a half, you pull it out,
When did this turn into that viral video that was like the pizza, it ended up being a pizza?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, from my Wyoming background, we're Taco John's. Which, I don't know if you guys have talked about Taco John's on the podcast.
Yeah, I've never had Taco John's.
Taco John's is a blend of Taco Time International meets Taco Bell, essentially.
That sounds very bad.
Right. But I'm not saying it was good. But it's a Wyoming franchise. It's LeBron James is trying to, you know... Get the
Blaze Pizza?
No, LeBron James
is trying to get the patent
for Taco Tuesday, and Taco John's in Wyoming owns this.
They own it for the restaurant.
Right, fuck you, Infrared.
That was too informative.
Did he even trademark law?
Do you think LeBron James thinks he invented Taco Tuesday?
Yes. Yes.
I have a Taco Tuesday.
I fully
take.
Believe that.
I've been waiting to get off.
Oh my God.
Fuck Taco Tuesday, because why would I limit my consumption of tacos
there
to Tuesday?
Go. There you go.
Wow.
I'm not disagreeing. But
Taco Sunday, Taco Monday, Taco Tuesday, Taco Wednesday, Taco Thursday, Taco Friday, Taco Saturday.
I didn't agree for him to be here.
Also, he lied about his favorite food, not the platter. It's whatever free giveaway a Seattle team.
No. Wrong. Wrong. Wrong.
If the Mariners hit two triples, he's the biggest Mariner.
If the Seahawks score a rushing touchdown and I get a Chris fucking taco for free for all the bullshit that I have to deal with being here, it ain't even worth it. I still go.
What if it's against the 49ers? What kind of cognitive dissonance do you have if the Seahawks score rushing touchdowns against the 49ers while you're eating?
They actually scored one the last game when the Niners won, and you were there for that, and I went and got my free crisp taco the next day. It was fucking great.
So,
and the Mariners hit a triple and lose 8-0.
I mean, that's the highlight of their season.
Yeah, yeah. Free nugs, that's great. Dude, they don't do a Sounders something, right? Like,
no. Not yet.
We're apparently, the Taco Time hates the Sounders.
No.
They're not the only ones. Fuck the Sounders.
So happy we asked you to do this. Okay, Josh.
San Jose Earthquakes fan?
Like, what is this?
You're just a hater.
Go Earthquakes.
No, fuck the Sound. You guys go to Sounders games?
Yeah.
You're like marching MLS soccer. This is amazing.
I don't like that hat.
This is.
I mean, they haven't won since the Sounders existed, so it works.
Where's your Chris Wondolowski jersey?
Wow.
All right, okay. Josh, do you have any Taco Time stories which you can share with us at Talkin' Taco Time Live?
No.
But
I mean, the good news is no one is listening to this.
This is not being recorded. No one's listening. This is just us in a dark room.
There's only one listener.
I would like to add that. So you guys always talk about your favorite locations, right?
Yeah.
Elliot's the best one.
By far. A classic.
Elliot's the best one because you go inside. Right. No, you go inside. It's like a fucking ski lodge in this gym. Right, like
I gotta say, that's not a good comparison. That's what I ever draw. These tacos,
you don't feel like that.
Today,
it's all wood. You can have the Elliot. You can have your wedding reception there.
that's actually a great idea. Wedding reception at Taco Time. Think about it.
No, yeah, no, for real. Like you can have your wedding reception. The night manager guy is a 49ers fan, so fuck y'all. And he's been so I pull up. He knows. He's like, oh, the fucking Seahawks scored a rushing touchdown, and we're eating for free. And we're both stoked on this. I don't know what his name is.
I assume he can eat for free anyway.
Yeah, yeah, but we're talking we.
You got to be sly about it now. You're like, oh, man, I messed up this burrito. I'll just put it up here, and then you take it home later.
Are we done? Is that that look? You know, are we already over?
That was just the disappointed Nick Mullins look.
Wow.
Disappointed he's not playing?
Wow. Okay, hey, can we get back to this Wyoming shit? I have stuff to talk about.
Wait, the what?
I have stuff to talk about.
Okay.
So, putting tots or
Mexi fries.
Hold on. No. I'm not. They're different in Wyoming. Right? They're not called.
There's nobody there.
Well, they're still called Mexi fries.
Yeah. No, they're not called Mexi fries.
Not?
No.
At International?
No. They're like fucking.
They just straight called them
No, they're potato olays.
Harder Taco Time.
They're potato olays. So they've always put them in the burrito.
It doesn't even rhyme.
It's a. You get a potato burrito where they put the shit in there, right? And it's fire.
Yeah, I like a potato.
So it's not like Taco Time is reinventing the wheel, not Taco Time International. But you should be putting tots in the burrito, right? Wyoming's been doing it for years.
For breakfast.
Years.
Yeah.
Hey, man, come on.
Hey, it's a breakfast burrito.
Anyway. No.
Totally different.
I mean,
totally.
It is.
No, have you guys had Taco Time breakfast?
No.
No.
Oh.
They had it
in Bellingham.
Time. Yeah.
They had it in Bellingham. I stayed all night. And got fucked up and had it at like 8 in the morning. And they had the crisp burrito with bacon and egg in it. And it was amazing.
Is this like a Wendy's breakfast that used to be at Seaside?
They got the Wendy's breakfast in all the airports around.
Tell us more about Taco Time
breakfast. It was amazing. So we had a show with Brother Ali or Aesop Rock or somebody.
Okay.
And it was like
a rap show.
Yeah. It was a rhymesayers person. It's like the same person.
Yeah.
It was Psalm 1.
No.
Definitely not Psalm 1. We knew that Psalm 1 would get brought up in the podcast.
It was like five.
Mark it on your bingo card. Psalm 1 from Chicago. Female rapper, Rhymesayers Entertainment.
Okay, so you were at the Brother Ali or Aesop Rock show.
Yeah, so we went to Taco Time before the show. I saw that. And I was like, fuck, if we could hold out till like 8 in the morning somehow.
I'm so jealous right now, actually.
I can have the breakfast burrito.
You got to indie rap all
night. And about 2 a.m. 2 a.m.-ish, I was like, there's no way. About 5 a.m., I was like, we're close.
Oh, my God.
And it was fucking great.
Did you wait in the parking lot this entire time? Like, did the manager walk?
I was outside Wild Buffalo, it's like you've been there. Okay, you've been there. Hey, shout out Grinch over here.
Woo!
Yeah, Grinch got a big show next week. I hope y'all come out because we need some money. there won't be free taco time or paiachis, but have a great time. Yes, there is. Hey, newly remodeled taco time.
Yeah,
open.
At the Sunset
great.
Or the Tractor Tavern, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Sunset.
Okay.
Exactly.
That checks out.
They got Coronas there?
Yes.
At the Sunset.
Oh, my God.
You guys got anything to say? I've been talking this whole fucking time.
That's what the point
of
this
is. I mean, that's the idea of having a guest.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to talk plenty throughout the course of this podcast.
Oh, you know what? What else do you want to talk about? I'm ready.
I think, unfortunately...
I think the next topic is churros, okay?
Have to talk quickly about the new crisp beef burritos. Because we talked about this on our pod with Robbie Tonkin.
Yeah.
He told us that they're hand-rolling the crisp beef burritos and the bean burritos, just like they do with the chicken burritos. It's a handful of test locations.
You know about this? Seem
skeptical. I heard about this, but we're going to get deep in this.
Mrs. Fantasy Genius has a take?
Yes.
You can't edit me out.
Nope. You're not on the mic. No one can hear you.
What?
Come forward to the microphone. Kevin is going to edit
Mrs.
all
Fantasy
of this out.
Genius. Kevin always edits me out this time. He cannot because we are live. But I want to let y'all know that these ones are not, unfortunately, hand-rolled. Yeah.
Oh, no, the ones that we just ate are not hand-rolled.
Oh, yeah.
No, these ones are not.
They're still working on it.
That's why these crisp burritos tasted like shit.
No. I mean, the big takeaway is it's not necessarily that
different.
The joke's
on you, the listener.
Oh, thanks again to Taco Time Northwest for donating all that
food. Thank you so much, Taco Time Northwest.
I'll let you guys
donate
know.
Donate some sauce.
They've been trying to work on doing the hand-rolled stuff since I was there. That was like over
since Josh was in Wyoming.
Over
the first or second time.
Over the second time. Over like 4 years ago they were trying, but they couldn't get down.
Since
the beef
time, the
to get cooled down. The beef can't get cooled down fast enough, so maybe they're...
Well, they got it down now.
Yeah.
Well,
sounds like Tesla and their battery.
Exactly.
I would have to say this was the best beef crisp burrito I've ever had in my entire life.
As you mentioned to me, and I was surprised. First off, like we didn't know there's cheese in there. You would never guess that there's cheese in that crisp beef burrito you just
ate. If you just asked me, I would tell you there's cheese in there,
Can, Josh.
There's cheese in the beef, there's cheese in the bean,
right here,
and then there's cream cheese in the chicken.
You're gonna do the puzzle?
But you can taste it in the hand-rolled ones.
Can I get
Robbie
a drink
was not lying
there?
About that. We're having two different conversations here.
I like Josh is leaving. Thanks so much for joining us on Talkin' Taco Time.
I mean, we do kind of need to
if
move
you
on.
Had, if you had a tall can, Josh, you would have had 4 more ounces, man.
I would have drank those. let's get down to the nitty-gritty. So, guys.
We're finally now
getting
down to the nitty-gritty.
Like,
what's your deal, guys?
So, episode one.
Yes.
You had on
Jake one.
Yeah, this was an important question.
And you think, we don't actually believe Jake invented the chicken crisp burrito.
Well,
because listen. Jake? Fucking Jake? I've never seen Jake... roll anything, right? We're rolling weed backstage. We're rolling all sorts of shit.
You had
Jake ain't rolled nothing.
You could tell on Talkin' Taco Time.
I want to know.
I'm just saying.
There's the weed, and then there's all sorts of shit.
Internationally acclaimed rap Jake. Producer with a child, Jake One, is rolling weed backstage. There's
listen.
No other stories you could tell on Talkin' Taco Time. Okay,
it's legal now. What are we doing here?
All right, what do we got? I was gonna say, are you?
Also... Oh!
Oh my God! Wow! Instagram, Katie, can you please post for the brand? Jake needs to know from fucking Japan.
I bought this at the market today. They're selling them down there, and they know Jake ain't invented shit. Okay,
what?
Like.
So Jake's in Japan. He can't
let it be known.
Himself.
Yeah, yeah. He's in there. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to defend Jake. I'm going to do it. First off, I'm going to do a lot of defending Jake later.
You don't got to convince us.
I ain't here for it.
Can we say, because this is a recorded podcast that people can't see, that Josh's shirt says.
Jake One did not invent the crispy burrito.
The chicken crispy burrito. And despite what Robbie Tonkin may say.
I think there's two different definitions of invent.
Robbie did not say that. Robbie is younger than Jake, right? So he wasn't there. So he wasn't there. So he can't. He's like, oh, I can't. Okay. So let me tell you a little story about this.
Oh my God.
So when Jake claimed
that he invented
the chicken crisp burrito, I was like, okay, fuck it, man. So I went on his Wikipedia. I added it to his Wikipedia. And Wikipedia flagged my IP address.
Hey, they also flagged my IP address when I said Levi Stadium was the field of tight jeans.
Yeah, that makes sense, though. But so they flagged my IP address, and then my boss came down and was like, hey, why are we getting a notice from Wikipedia for Jake One? Either you or Grinch did this shit. And I was like, well, me and Grinch did it. Oh, my God.
So you did this at work.
Yeah, we did it at work. Yes. Yeah. But if Wikipedia is going to flag it, that means it's not true. Right?
I don't know if Wikipedia can determine. So I think
no, Wikipedia is not flagging it.
You need you need a citation, man. You could have linked to the Pelton Cast.
No, I did. That's what I did. That's what we did.
The Wikipedia is not accepting us as fact?
You don't give any
Are we at odds with Wikipedia now?
Great time in Tokyo, Jake.
Sorry, everybody. This whole podcast is just Talkin' Taco Time. Forget about the Seahawks or any other things you planned on hearing.
So I think Jake
I'm sorry, guys.
Jake might be the Leif Erikson of the chicken crisp burrito.
That shirt.
As opposed to the Columbus
the
of the chicken crisp burrito. Because did Leif Erikson discover
How dare
America?
You?
He got there first.
How much is Jake paying?
But he didn't tell anyone.
Jake One raped and pillaged his way to invent the crisp chicken burrito.
No, Jake.
Is that what you're saying right now?
Jake is that dude that you, like, your homie in high school that was like, man, I slept with that girl that lived in that other town where she can't verify it because you don't know where she's at and nobody else can verify it. So you're like, oh, shit, that might be true. But nobody can verify it.
Sounds like everything that's ever happened in Wyoming.
Potentially.
There was three sheep around. You can ask them.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I think that's how we're going to conclude this.
Thank you so much for joining us on Talkin' Taco Time.
Oh, that was it? Thank you, guys.
This is certainly the most contentious Talkin' Taco Time we've ever had.
Nobody tell Jake One that this happened.
I appreciate it.
This is my favorite Talkin' Taco Time of all time.
This is just a United States podcast. It does not go to Japan. Oh, my God.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, live audience.
Get that Niner fan off the stage.
Thank you.
Woo! Woo! Have fun with your Elliot Chris Burrito, as invented by Jake One.
So a lot of podcasts are covering TV series these days. But only one Seattle sports podcast is offering up recaps of Ballers on HBO. That's right, it's After Ballers. And there's nobody better to help us discuss the climactic final season of Ballers on HBO than DJ Infrared.
Hurry up and play. I am here.
So this is the last season.
Yes,
of
sadly.
On HBO. Fill us in on what's happening with the LA Rams.
You know what?
Very little deal.
You're going into the conversation with the music playing. Yeah. All right, pause the music. I like my chicks in twos.
That happens a lot on the show. It's true.
Okay.
That show really is that song in like long form. Yeah.
The Rams are in chaos.
They're
Not the Jared Goff extension Rams.
They did extend Jared Goff on the show, though.
That is true.
Do you think that
Ballers imitates life?
Yeah.
Life imitates Ballers?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They might have the most diabolical secondary / receiver core ever. Kasan Williams might be a...
Kasan Tate.
I mean...
First off, here's what I like about this. Kasan Tate, who's a player on the Rams... And their GM is one of the characters on Ballers on HBO.
Mean
For those
Green.
Of you who have not watched this.
Who here has watched Ballers on HBO? Wow.
Okay, that's a few.
Nice, yeah.
That's a few.
Yeah.
Shockingly few of you do not know.
His spoilers, by the way. There's going to be lots of Ballers.
Yeah, there will be that, yeah.
Gets into a shootout.
At Jack in the Box.
At Jack in the Box. I love that they chose Jack in the Box for this.
Well, I thought they were in L.A. and not San Diego for a while. I don't know why they're at Jack in the
Box. I guess In-N-Out was closed.
Yeah. They should have been at Tommy's or something. I don't know. Nice. But there's something diabolical about Keyson's past that they're alluding to. The head of security, who apparently...
Oh, I didn't even catch this.
The head of security apparently used to work for, like, Blackwater or something, apparently. They're having secret meetings in the back of, like, an all-black Sprinter government vehicle.
I got to say, that never happened when I worked with the Pacers.
I was going to ask you, is that a typical thing for a front office to have?
You might know if that happened at the Sonics.
A mobile command center?
Wasn't quite like that.
Okay, so I caught up today. And Infrared, you watched the first episode of the dramatic fifth season of Ballers on HBO.
Yes.
Final season of Ballers on HBO.
Yes.
Twice to prepare for After Ballers.
And the second episode, three
close
times.
Close reading?
Yeah.
Three times. You're going to watch each one more times?
It's like Fibonacci, basically.
Yeah.
I'll be watching the season finale like 131 times.
Check off the Fibonacci square on your bingo card. Didn't expect to get to that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so they've also got Ricky Jarrett, who is apparently retiring after he was...
Let's just be real here. Ricky Jarrett got Regina Georged.
That's true.
It's true, yeah.
He was just offered a contract extension.
The fact that...
Stepped out inside
here's
and
how I know nobody in the crowd watches Ballers on HBO except for us three in right here. So I said Regina Georged and nobody said a thing.
We also said Ricky Jarrett, which is on the bingo card. Everyone make sure you're checking that
nobody
out.
Nobody saw that.
Yeah, mark that down.
Okay, so I caught up on Ballers. I have not watched it 2 to 3 times.
Why?
I caught up on season 5. And the most unrealistic thing that happened... You're putting that right in front of the...
I got it.
The most unrealistic thing that happened on Ballers on HBO after all the 5 seasons happened in this 5th season. You know what that was?
What?
That was an NFL owner being so bothered by an assault case that he wanted to sell the team. They were so over the Tyreek Hill situation that they were selling the Hunts were selling the Chiefs.
Who moved
and
the, founded
today,
the team and moved them to Kansas City.
Today, re-signed Tyreek Hill for 3 seasons.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
Yeah, the Chiefs
did it. Tyreek Hill contract extension.
I think it's $43 million.
Yeah. Ballers on HBO somehow managed to be more progressive than the actual NFL.
Yeah.
I don't know that somehow is the right adjective to use. We got to move ahead quickly here. The emotional climax of this 5th season is obviously... So the feud between former partners, Spencer Strassmore.
Yes.
Played by The Rock.
Yes.
And,
wait, seriously?
Oh, wow.
Wait, there's a bingo? Wait, please consult Katie.
Yeah, verify that, Katie.
David, you got the bingo? Well, Katie doesn't know. She's not
paying
attention.
This is exciting.
There you go. All right, so if anybody is paying attention, you need to get a pee now.
Yeah.
For the next bingo. Let me look at this bingo card. Is that possible? Yes. Okay, so you have to go all the way up the
some
side.
Some of them are different than the
across
others.
Across down
he's
there.
He's just looking at actually the structure of a bingo card, which he's apparently never seen before.
So
it's a 5x5.
So it's The Rock. It's The Rock and Joe Crutell, played by Rob Corddry, former partners who have split. The Rock is trying to buy the Chiefs because the Hunts have decided to sell it.
David's leaving now that he got bingo.
it's The Rock and billionaire Sideshow Bob and Cecil.
Yes. Yeah. The like weird billion spinoff is part of the Ballers. I almost called it Entourage, which...
No, it's the same
you
show.
You can never call it that. So Joe Crutell with... Who's the English actor again?
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand.
He's trying to build like some sort of sports headquarters.
Zach Whitman is shocked that you couldn't remember Russell Brand.
Look, there's a lot of pressure up here. Who is more likely to succeed in their plans, and is there any chance that they don't emotionally reunite
David,
in the final?
David, can you grab me a Rainier?
So if the plan is The Rock...
Me too.
If the plan is The Rock and Sideshow Bob and Sideshow Cecil... versus Joe and Russell Brand.
I prefer to think of it as the guy from Wings.
The guy from Wings, yeah. That is true. He was from Wings, yeah. Alongside Joe and Russell Brand trying to build what essentially LeBron James had just announced, which was the Performance Center in the middle of the valley.
Again.
Yeah.
Life imitates Ballers.
Exactly, yeah. Joe has proven himself to be incompetent over 5 seasons, so therefore I trust The Rock. Even though he did botch the deal with USC in the last season.
But we know that Joe Crutell is going to end up as the president of the Chiefs, right? Because Candace refused the job.
Do you think that he'll...
There's so many spoilers here, but no one knows because you can't spoil something like you've never watched.
I learned them recently.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Candace is the number two to Goodell. Also, that's a romance that's going to happen. They're going to hook up.
Episode,
it seems likely.
They've got a real Ross and Rachel type thing.
Yeah. No, it feels like in the series finale, they're gonna be a thing.
Your hat looks incredible, David. Thank you.
also, Joe found love.
That plot caught me off guard. I didn't see that one coming.
Everyone's starting to find, you know, their
Did
their,
he?
Their
in
companion.
That, like, an assistant person who can't talk in the meetings?
No, not the guy.
The woman, no, the woman that made him apologize to the assistant that can't talk to the meetings.
Oh. You saw them because they looked at each other at the end of the episode.
Yeah, she strong arms him. She's very, you know, very strong willed, and
Joe
he likes that.
Finally, gonna find love after the death of his
wife.
It's
tough for me to understand the subtext of Ballers on HBO.
That's why you gotta watch it 2 or 3 times.
There's a lot of layers to this. A lot of layers to this. We're not even getting into Ricky Jarrett and. You know, his struggles with the end of his career.
The emotional speech that Bunny Colvin gave him. Yeah. I was tearing up.
I'm worried about him and TTD's
fight. Zach is the only person who's watched The Wire also. Like, what the hell?
All right, we're going to have to bring you back on at the end of this climactic season 5 of Ballers on HBO to recap everything with us.
Yes.
And we may see you again on this podcast. And you'll have a mic over there.
Yeah, you're going to continue to be part of the podcast.
I'll just switch mics, but... Yes, if you haven't, go see Ballers. It's
really?
Much
actually don't. It's bad.
Much like Barry Sanders going out on top. You know,
it's the Andrew
after
Luck
five
of TV
seasons.
Shows.
Yeah, you know,
it could be the Andrew Luck.
It was either do Ballers for a 6th season or not do the 11th movie in a year for a Rock. So
we got to do that 11th.
Tough
movie.
Choices had to be made. So you know, Hobbs and Shaw 2 doesn't make itself. Which is a great movie also, by the way. And it's basically the same plot as some of the Ballers.
He's not getting paid to promote this.
No, I'm not at all. I just really like The Rock, too. Also, if you didn't notice in the first episode, he was reading Elizabeth Warren's book. Elizabeth Warren is actually the number one fan of Ballers and The Rock. So a nice little art-imitating life, yeah.
We're number two.
In the opening scene, we're number two, far number two. So the opening scene, a little nod to their number one fan.
There you go. Right.
Yeah. As he lay on a beach and then someone from the NFL decides, do you want to be an owner? Because that's how
that
works.
That works,
yeah. So the same one
Call
that tried...
when you get all the money.
Yeah, the same one that tried to block the move to Oakland, but then to Vegas. That's another art-imitating life thing, too.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to get into all of that. Yeah.
All right. Inthred, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We may see you again. Do you have intro music for our next guest?
I don't.
Should I say California Love?
Okay. I mean, is anyone here a fan of the Seattle Seahawks?
No.
Did anybody here go to Stanford University in Palo Alto?
Yeah. Josh Sanger did.
I saw a couple. Josh Allen fans right here.
When it came time to preview the 2019 Seahawks at our live show, there was only one appropriate choice, his third Pelton brother. Someone who seems to have grown up just like us, only on the east side instead of the south side. Someone who has become a leading voice in Seahawks Twitter, NFL stats Twitter, anti-running back Twitter, which may be the same thing, and a writer for The Athletic Seattle without ever publicly revealing his non-Brian Schottenheimer face.
It still will not today.
Or staying up past 6 p.m. Pacific time. We're already nearing his bedtime. Please welcome to the pod, Ben Baldwin.
All right, play the California one.
Big one tomorrow for Stanford.
They play San Diego State or something?
No, they play USC.
It's USC.
We're not the only team that plays a Pac-12 game in week two.
How did this happen?
Stanford always has weird schedules because they play Notre Dame and that screws up everything else. So the Stanford game and the UW game are at the same time. So there's a lot of football happening tomorrow. That is a great picture. So,
Ben, there you are on the screen.
You can tell the resemblance.
It's too bad we don't have the Seahawks backing like in that picture because then it'd be just spot on
identical. It'd be eerie. All right, so we're going to start out. In case you missed on anything, let's catch up on the Seahawks offseason because a lot happened, more than I even remembered when I was putting this together. All right, so it's the offseason in pictures. We start March 13th. Ooh. There's emotional highs and lows here. We start at a low. March 13th, Earl Thomas signs with the Ravens. Ben, your take.
Is it still too late for the Seahawks to sign him? Because
it is.
They could use some secondary help.
Wow. Okay,
that's unfortunate.
where Earl Thomas has been reunited with our friend Sean from CBAC.
Yeah, which I'm sure we'll hear a lot about that when the Ravens play the Seahawks later, if Sean were allowed to comment on football publicly anymore.
It got better, though. On the next day, the Seahawks re-signed KJ Wright. I think a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I was not expecting this. He and DJ Fluker were the two that I really wasn't sure if they would bring back, and having KJ Wright and Bobby
Both
Wagner.
Both signed the same day.
Yeah, definitely one of the nice happy days over the offseason.
There's some more. Not this next one, though.
Oh,
also the same day. They signed Jason Myers to a huge contract a year, not even a year, like 7 months after cutting him at the end of training camp.
All my takes on this have already been relayed on PeltonCast by Zach Whitman, so I'm just going to repeat everything Zach said on this one. And yeah.
On April 16th, Russell Wilson shared with us this video to tell us that he had extended his contract with the Seattle Seahawks.
Woo! People found this video a lot more heartwarming than I thought they would.
What did you find it?
I don't, Ben.
It was weird.
It was sensuous.
Yes.
Hopefully the next.
All of us on the West Coast saw it late at night.
It would,
2 p.m. Eastern.
It would be really weird if you played this video with the song Body Party by Sierra over it.
Hopefully the next slide's the DJ Fluker Tyler Lockett reenactment of this, because that was also...
It should have been.
Tyler Lockett does a lot of reenactments this offseason.
April 25th, the Seahawks traded Frank Clark to Kansas City.
Who's
getting a first round trade and a second round pick.
Only the 49ers fan should be
cheering. Zach Whitman loves it.
I mean,
it was good value.
This was...
Also, fun fact, spoiler alert. Seahawks are going to replace Frank Clark.
No,
I
no
put
way.
Put Auten.
No way. LJ Collier, baby.
We skipped him.
I still cannot believe the Chiefs did that. So thank you, Kansas City.
April 26th, the Seahawks draft He-Man himself, DK Metcalf. That is, of course, a photo of him shirtless in the Seahawks draft room at the combine.
Which one is he on that screen?
He's on the right. Pete's on the left.
He's on the left one, right? 7% body fat, or is it
4%? Look, he was a star in the Pacific in 1932.
Shortly before they gave up football. And then a down note, May 9th, Doug Baldwin and Cam Chancellor failed physical, terminated contracts, ending their Seahawks career.
Wow, don't thanks, Josh.
No, come on.
But Chris Borland.
Do we have a Niners version of this?
Patrick Willis retired like 8 years ago.
I mean, we knew this was happening. It was pretty clear with Baldwin at the draft. Obviously, Cam Chancellor, we had known he was, for a long time that he wasn't going to play again. But still the finality of it. Just like Ballers on HBO, the final season. Very emotional.
Yeah. That's what I think of when I see this.
I was kind of surprised that Doug Baldwin, someone like Gronk talked for years and years about retiring before he actually did it, or even Marshawn. And then with Doug, we heard like a couple months before the draft that maybe he was going to do it, and then right when the draft is happening, okay, I'm done.
Well, so that's a lot longer timeline than his former quarterback.
Stanford players seem to retire earlier than anybody else.
I mean, they've got a lot to fall back on.
Building community centers in Renton, Washington, am I right?
Which 50% of tonight's proceeds are going to?
Yeah. $37 is going to the Doug Baldwin Fund.
They had $5 million to raise. Now they've only got like $4,999,000. July 26th, the Seahawks extend the contract of linebacker Bobby Wagner and John Schneider. Looking rough. It seems like he worked overtime to get this contract done.
This is a lot better than he looked after the first round of the draft, though, so he improved a little bit.
He's not wearing the championship belt anymore for some reason, or maybe you just can't tell what's under the hoodie.
Kind of weirdly sweaty.
Sort of like me up here?
It's like us on Pelton Cast Live.
Oh, no. Or the Tasteful Profanity Live.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
August 31st, we're going to cap the offseason this way. The Seahawks made a trade for Jadeveon Clowney?
Yes. This is awesome. Comparing what they got from trading Frank Clark, who's probably about as good as Jadeveon Clowney, to what they gave up to get Clowney is just, it's amazing. And the Seahawks did this. It's awesome.
All right, that's going to lead to a question later. So running backs don't matter. We've all agreed there, right?
Bingo. Everyone's agreed. Bingo square.
No dissenters that running backs matter. Does pass
there,
rush
there
matter?
There was a single dissenter.
Does pass rush matter?
So this is one of those questions that sounds like it should be easy to answer. And in a podcast forum, you should give a simple answer. But I can't really do that. So,
we've only got 35 minutes to our hard out.
So I think the answer is yes, but probably less than most people think it does. And counting on a good pass rush to cover for a secondary that is devoid of talent, which is basically what the Seahawks and 49ers
Devoid of talent? And Chiefs are all doing.
Please let that be in a Cable Thanos video at some point this season. It's like Kendrick Thompson picking up a pass and then devoid of talent.
I've been told for years
that Kendrick Thompson's about to break out, and it just hasn't quite happened yet.
Any day now. This could be the week.
So the Seahawks, the 49ers, and the Chiefs, they all heavily invested in pass rush without really addressing the secondary. So it's going to be interesting to see if they have decent defenses or not.
Although in some ways they didn't invest that heavily in the pass rush because they got Onsa on the cheap after his injury.
Well, they used a first-round pick.
Well, that is true. But that wasn't on the pass rush. LJ Collier was strictly on the run defense. They used the first round pick on a run-stopping defensive
end. Entire show's just for Zach.
We just wrote Zach.
So the idea is that they lost Frank Clark and needed someone to replace him, right? And Collier's like generally the same position.
No, Collier
doesn't really.
Collier is
going to
be
the
Red Bryant of the Seahawks. They used the first round pick on that.
Zach is dying in the first row here.
Collier doesn't count.
How much does Clowney improve the Seahawks? You wrote a piece a few weeks ago for The Athletic Seattle where you concluded a 9-7 record was your expectation.
Can we confirm that David's bingo is a bingo? Just now? Yes. David, you already have your hat. I already have my Rainier tall boy, but confirm.
Good bingo. Good bingo.
Yeah.
I would say...
I think 9-7 is basically what Vegas thinks. If you look at their performance last year, it's reasonable to expect. The question is, what will happen with the receiving group now that Doug Baldwin's gone? So it kind of takes a leap of faith in Russell Wilson, which I think is reasonable because he's a really good quarterback, but he's going to be throwing to Tyler Lockett and question mark.
Well, that's we should get to our next slide then.
There we go.
The battle station is fully armed
and
operational.
Can you point out to us on the screen who all of these players are? from top to bottom.
So the one with the big head, that's Russell Wilson.
Yes.
And then going clockwise, we got Tyler Lockett. I think that's John Ursua.
That's John Ursua.
DK yep. Metcalf, Will Disley, George Fant, and CJ ProSize.
There we go.
Yes!
And CJ ProSize is the one running back that matters because he used to play wide receiver.
There we go. The one
CJ ProSize did nothing wrong. Yes. Is that new? Has anyone done that before? I'm claiming that one.
JD McKissick also did nothing wrong.
Yeah, him.
Except he wasn't talented.
Kristen That's Michael true. Did nothing wrong?
Wow.
Check that out on Tasteful Profanity if you haven't already. The Blogue.
Okay, what do we have next here?
Well, I mean, we should talk about it. Are these guys good at receiving?
George Fant, specifically.
Who's going to be the Seahawks' number two receiver? We talked about this on the pod this week.
Oh.
So I thought this was really hard. And then
why is it George Fant?
They brought Jerron Brown back, and I think he's probably going to be the answer.
It's not Jerron Brown.
It's the most boring answer, so therefore it's probably the right answer.
The question is, who's going to be number three on the team in targets? And the way Schottenheimer's talking preseason, maybe it'll be Chris Carson, but we'll see.
All right, take 30 seconds. Explain to us why running back targets are bad.
Oh gosh. Okay. I have to gather myself for this. So it's not just the Seahawks.
The machine is calculated.
A lot of NFL teams have said passing to running backs is the thing we really want to do.
And weirdly, one team that didn't say that was the Bears, and then they threw like 18 passes to Mike Davis last night.
Yeah, it went really well for them, too.
49ers legend, Mike Davis.
Yeah, 49ers legend.
So my pessimist view on this, which has no like actual evidence behind it, is that the Seahawks are so tired of people yelling at them to pass the ball more.
Gee, who would be doing that? Who's doing that?
I can't think of anyone on the stage. They're like, okay, fine, we're going to pass the ball more, but they still think running backs are really important. So the way to do that and get the ball to the centerpiece of their team, which is what they think is Chris Carson, but is actually Russell Wilson, of course.
Chris Carson is not on this fully armed and operational paddle station.
After the Ezekiel Elliott extension, how much guaranteed money is Chris Carson going to get next year when he's eligible for an extension? Oh, no.
Well, that's why, so going back the year before the LJ Collier pick, they picked a running back in the first round to hedge for Chris Carson's
contract. Someone should drunkenly complain about this on a podcast.
So I
drunkenly complain about them trading Earl Thomas. Thank you.
What a moment. What a night.
I can see them giving him a larger contract than they probably should, which is not exactly a hot take, but let's say like $20 million.
That sounds about right.
Guaranteed per year.
Every year.
They got to do something with that cap space left over after Jadeveon Clowney leaves.
We got to hurry it up. This Brazilian metal band is...
we're where we need to be. Okay. All right, so next up,
they're going to start sound checking while we're on here.
We want to talk about this tweet.
Uh-oh.
If I had to grade the Seahawks on... Okay, so... This is from my friend of the pod, Seth Parnell. His buckets for the ways in which analytics can influence the decisions the sports teams makes. Number one, roster building. Number two, in-game strategy. Number three, sports science. You gave your grades for these for the Seahawks. Would you like to tell the crowd what those were? Or would you share with the whole class?
So, this is not saying that the Seahawks roster is a 2 out of 10. Although, if you took away...
You didn't share the grades. You just started justifying. You started rationalizing.
Okay. Roster building, what did you give them?
I gave them a 2 out of 10. So
this
is saying...
Do you know who Jadeveon Clowney is?
This was before that.
Have you ever heard of Russell Wilson, who they drafted in the third round?
Post-Jadeveon Clowney trade, what do you give the roster building?
So this isn't the roster
still
building.
Still a two.
Use of analytics to
these grades are the degree to which their decision making is informed by what analytics or data-driven decision making would tell them. So if I ask the question, in what ways is the Seahawks in-game strategy informed by numbers?
Oh yeah, no one's disputing that zero.
Only
disputing the roster building too.
Zero out of ten. They've run play action a single time.
Should I talk about the rule of 53?
We had a fans of the Rule of 53 out there. I mean, they are pioneers in using Spark scores. Wow. It's studied by our own Zach Whippen. Does that not count?
That?
Yeah, Ben.
That's why they, there's a they're
that's
a two,
why they got
they're
a,
not
zero.
A zero.
No,
yeah.
You said they got 2 points for trading down in the draft.
So I think that they get some points for the draft here, and probably not a lot of points for other things. I think to get more points, they would have to do things like invest in their wide receivers or secondary more, not draft.
What does the seventh round pick on John Arsua mean to you?
Not draft a run-stuffing player in the first round or a running back in the first round the year before that. Not wait till Doug Baldwin retires to start thinking about the players that Russell Wilson's going to be passing to.
Been through like none of these bingo squares.
You have a question?
CJ Anderson.
All right, we're going to bring up Mike. Mike. From the Tasteful Profanity Podcast.
Wait, we have an open mic here.
Oh God. Not really. It's by invitation only, apparently.
There you go.
Oh, God.
You have a question for Ben?
No, pun intended on the open mic.
I do have a question. Before that question, I have two other very short questions.
Oh, no.
The first of which is very important.
See, Mike did nothing wrong.
Did Chris and Michael do anything wrong?
No.
Of course. My second question.
I think Chris and Michael might have done a few things wrong.
You're fucking dead to me.
That's the reason I didn't participate in See Mike Week.
I got ghosted by Kevin Pelton. Kevin Pelton put me on red.
It's the biggest stain on my Seahawks Twitter existence. Can we do Jermaine Kearse did nothing wrong week? I am first
there
in line.
Go.
Regret walking up to the stage.
Pour one out. Pour one out for Jermaine Kearse. Well soon, Jermaine.
Pour one out for Kristen Michael. God. Okay. Second question. Did you know that there have now been as many live Pelton casts as the Rams scored points in the Super Bowl?
There we go.
Well done. Woo! Yeah.
So,
and they've been a lot more fun to watch.
There have been a lot more seasons of Ballers on HBO.
Wow.
Than there have been Rams. So,
I don't think the Rams would score higher on this either. Look at the Todd Gurley contract.
Wait, Ben, an important question for you.
Yes.
Would the Rams have scored more points in the Super Bowl if they had Ricky Jarrett on the team?
Yes.
Who's Ricky Jarrett?
All right, Mike, what's your question?
He's the offensive version of Grady Jarrett. My third question, and the most important question, Ben. Ben Baldwin. Ben B. Baldwin.
Yes.
Did Marshawn Lynch matter?
Oh,
wow.
Oh.
That's a good question.
Think.
You're not the first person to ask me this.
Oh. Sorry,
hurt at all.
0 points for originality.
He got one alcohol in him. He's getting sassy.
Ben has had one beer.
Precisely one alcohol has entered into Ben B's body. Let's see what he has to say about Marshawn.
I know the answer is less than CJ Pro's size, of course.
He's a Stanford fan. Let's keep that in mind.
So the cop-out answer is I think they would have been about as good as they were whether or not he was on the team. But, yeah.
We're going to be passing out additional crisp burritos to pelt him with. That's why it's called the Pelton Cast. That's a bad pun. Drink.
There we go.
If you already crossed it off, so just drink.
CJ Anderson have been better than Marshawn Lynch?
Scratch that one off, too.
On the Seahawks Super Bowl team.
He was better than Todd Gurley, so CJ Anderson's really good.
That's not saying anything, though.
I mean, can I mount an argument for you?
Sure.
Marshawn Lynch's best seasons were when Russell Wilson was a run through.
I thought you were going to say they were on the Bills.
No, they were decidedly not on the Bills, but they weren't on the Seahawks before Russell Wilson became a star. Just saying.
Well, they were.
It's like it's actually the best guy around chart. Russell Wilson is only good because of Marshawn Lynch, and Marshawn Lynch is only good because
of
Russell
Wilson. Okay, can I see by show of toasting of Rainiers, how many people were at the Beast Quake game? There we go. Literally just me and Chris. Where were all of you people?
How many people were at the UW basketball game
there
that day? Whoa, the famous cousin Katie was next to me.
How many people were 8 that day? Mike?
I was in high school.
I think a valid argument is that it's entirely possible they wouldn't have beat either the Saints or the 49ers in the Super Bowl year if Marshawn wasn't on the team. So.
Oh, did they beat the 49ers?
The funniest thing about the argument of saying, like the Seahawks won the Super Bowl because of Marshawn Lynch, it's so ironic that, like, yes, like, the playoff run, like, he was a monster in the Saints and the 49ers games, but, like, he didn't do shit in the Super Bowl. like the actual Super Bowl.
Let's hear it from a 49ers fan.
The game in the stand in the fourth quarter. He's admitted this. He's in an interview with...
Wait, what? I didn't know that.
He was undressed in the stand watching the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter.
It was not a David Shields Marshawn documentary.
And Colin Kaepernick did the same thing the year before against the Ravens.
Okay,
do we have more questions?
We have one last
question.
We've
been through, like, one question.
We have, like, one last question. It's February 5th, 2020. Whoa. We're at a parade celebrating the Seahawks' Super Bowl 54 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers, avenging Super Bowl 40.
Yes. Oh, right.
Who needs Antonio Brown, apparently?
Is Antonio Brown on our team?
February 5th. How did the Seahawks do it?
Who's the MVP?
So if the Seahawks are going to be really good this year, I think the first answer is going to be because of DK Metcalf.
Woo!
DK Metcalf. Yeah.
I heard John Ursua when I heard that.
We know Russell Wilson's really good. We know Tyler Lockett's really good. If their offense is going to be really good and carry the team, then somebody is going to have to step up that is
Jermaine
unproven
Effetti.
So far. Maybe
Will
Jermaine Effetti. Maybe George Fant is
we
a receiving option. Maybe John Ursua. But
Malik Turner. No one ever says Malik Turner.
I keep forgetting he's on the team. but I think he gives them something.
Let's put that in the
Cable
Thanos video, too. Yeah. Malik Turner catches a touchdown pass. Get that clipped in there.
but if
he's
their
not,
offense is going to be amazing, it's going to have to be something that Metcalf offers that they haven't really had in the past, and that maybe, hopefully, optimistically, can really unlock Russell Wilson, and maybe it'll even convince them to throw the ball more, but that'd be really optimistic.
The Seahawks are currently 3,000-1 to win this Super Bowl at Caesar Sportsbook.
3,000?
That's 1,000 times the points the Rams scored in the Super Bowl.
very nice. Mike, from Tasteful Profanely Abuse Boat Production, thank you for joining us.
Ben, thanks so much for helping us preview the 2019 season.
Can we grab you very quickly? We have very little time.
Go
ahead. There is a Brazilian metal show starting so soon. Okay. We want to introduce everybody to a segment we like to call, it's blocked by a Rainier can because that's what happens at Pelton Cast Live, called Infrared Talks About the Yankees While the Crowd Boos Him. Infrared, tell us about the Yankees.
Boo! First of all. If you boo me, you boo Russell Wilson as a proud member of the Yankees. So calm down.
I did not realize that.
Secondly, sorry we had to sweep you at T-Mobile.
I mean, that was kind of good for the Mariners' plan, I think.
I think that
they
is.
We're enough games.
Yeah, so the Mariners are actively tanking as they do in the past 20 years.
And they're not even that good at tanking.
And we help out. Like, you guys are a great feeder team for us. Like, you're our AAA affiliate, which is great.
That's interesting. Where did Jay Buhner come from?
How did that work out for you?
Boo! It worked out pretty well in the 1995 AL Division Series, am I right?
Yeah. How did everything work out after that?
Boo! I've got the second mic.
How did 2001 work?
Boo! Talk about it.
Hey,
fun fact about that.
We only remember the ALDS from that series, not the ALCS, sir.
Only the ALDS matters in Seattle?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah. All series matter?
I'll try that one time. I do remember New York fans being extremely rude to Ichiro in 2001, chanting 60,000 deep sayonara in game 5 as he was at bat in the seventh inning, where Lou Piniella guaranteed they would be going back to Seattle, and no such thing happened.
He was the Yankees manager, right?
He was.
Yeah. He's a sleeper agent.
Legendary Yankee.
Is his number retired? There's so many, I can't keep track.
Boo. Oh, God.
Boo. you're like, we're not even excited about Mariano Rivera going in the Hall of Fame because it's like, who cares? We've got so many in there already.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's an embarrassment of riches now. Our players are wearing numbers like 77 and 99. Because.
And your players are Russell Wilson.
Yeah, exactly. He wears number 75 for us, which is
Boo.
A number of champions.
Do we have any fans of Edgar Martinez here?
Woo! Hey, I like Edgar.
Do we have any people who believed he was a Hall of Famer and is a Hall of Famer?
Is he?
He is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He did do that, didn't he, on his last year. I'm actually a fan of Edgar. He was admittedly, I can be unbiased. He was admittedly probably the most successful hitter against Mariano Rivera. The very first unanimous Hall of Famer, by the way. Don't forget that.
I only remember Mariano Rivera as the guy who came in game 5 of the 95 ALDS. Who can remember what happened after that game?
Okay, first of all, that's not even the most spectacular way to
lose. I mean, he actually got out of the inning. It was a really impressive performance, all things considered.
He blew a save in game 7 of the World Series, so that's not even on his radar as far as
greatest failures. We've never played in a World Series. We don't know what that means.
Yeah. No.
Boo. All right,
this okay, is A-Rod a Mariner or a Yankee?
He's a Yankee.
Boo.
And he will go into the Hall of Fame in 50 years as a Yankee.
His best season was with the Mariners.
Boo.
96.
What was he on?
Nobody else booed at the Alex Rodriguez thing because nobody wants him.
Oh, no.
I'll take him.
Yeah. You probably could have used him in the last 18 years.
Jennifer Lopez wants him.
Who wants him?
J-Lo.
Yeah.
There we go. J-Lo is a Yankees fan.
Well, as much as we'd love to do this all night.
I just want to leave with the anecdote that in the last 5 years, booing the last 5 years. No team has had a better record on the road against one team than the Yankees have against the Mariners.
Boo!
Therefore, T-Mobile Park is like the Yankees' summer home.
Boo!
And it was great.
It's only been T-Mobile for this year. You can't say that.
Doesn't count.
There were as many people booing the Yankees here as there were at Safeco / T-Mobile. A week and a half ago. It was great. It was like a home
game.
One
person was at the game.
They have more there's more Blue Jays fans there.
I want that work, man!
Gary Sanchez hit a home run onto the railroad track. That was awesome to watch.
All right. Especially we'd love to do this all night. We got a crew in Seattle's best sandwich.
Ooh.
We do. James, also, I just want to say thank you for James Paxton, 7-0 in the last
Ooh.
Seven games. Thank you for Edwin Encarnacion. He's doing great for us as well.
Two full-page ads. You're welcome.
Two full-page.
And I hope that
I have two mics to boo you with now.
I hope that Justice Sheffield works out for you all.
Boo.
I don't know who that is.
That's the captain.
All right. All right. Thanks.
Boo.
That's probably for the best that you don't know who Justice Sheffield is.
All right.
When it came time for us to decide the finals of Seattle's Best Sandwich, there was only one appropriate choice in addition. To analysis of NFL draft combine results, a three sigma athlete. You know him as the decider for the Pelton cast. Here to serve as third Pelton brother in our vote, Zach Whitman.
Woo! Yes. Thank you so much. That's so nice.
Over the past 5+ months,
we just booed somebody for like 3 straight minutes.
Thanks, guys.
We're in need of some positivity.
We've eaten.
Josh, sandwiches. Are you ready to talk about the 49ers at the end of this podcast?
We're not going to have time for that. At 20 different restaurants in the Seattle area in our search for
Kevin
the city's best sandwich, we narrowed that group down to 3 finalists. We couldn't decide on just 2. Maono Fried Chicken, Tat's Delicatessen, and the Other Coast Cafe. Over the past week, Zach.
We got the crowd riled up.
Who boos the Other Coast?
Boo!
I mean, technically it does refer
to It's better
to the
than
East
NBN,
coast.
I'm sorry.
I hate sandwiches.
It does refer to the coast the Yankees play on, so I get that.
Boo!
Zach, you've had all 3 of these in the past week. Give us your take.
So, I feel like I'm here to set the edge. I'm the LJ Collier of this lineup, because you guys are going to go later, and you're going to tell it. But I've had an experience, and I'm thankful to everyone for the experience I've had, because these sandwiches were fantastic. I feel like I have eaten more sodium. I have been more unhealthy. I feel arteries slowly crinkling up, and it's all thanks to you,
for which
I'm very happy. So I started my journey at Maono, and I hadn't heard of it. Which
You hadn't heard of it?
I hadn't heard of it.
Boo!
We got this crowd real angry.
Listen, I'm not the one who signed a kicker to a 7-year contract, so it's fine. I hadn't heard of it. I mean, I will say that I should have heard of it, but I had not.
Yeah, you hadn't heard of it when we discussed it on the podcast in April?
It is in West... No, okay, before the podcast. No, sorry. Okay. No, I listened to the podcast. I am the listener. Which, by the way, it is thrilling for me to be here in the same room as Chris from the infamous 2013 Pelton cast that obviously is the number one episode ever. Right, right, right. Which
please
is,
don't listen
I
to
think
that.
He left.
Is that still on the internet? Okay, very good.
Very it may good. Not be tomorrow.
So
we actually did have a lot of cooks.
Only the finest. Only Kirkland.
We've got like 10 minutes left.
Okay. So I was going to say, we started with Oh No. I wish
I
could...
be a Brazilian metal show during the crowning of Seattle's Best Sandwich.
I mean, crowning this sandwich is pretty metal, I think. So I will say, I wish I could give it credit for Rachel's ginger beer, because it's amazing to have the synergy. You have the ginger beer and the fried chicken sandwich. Biting into it, you get that bite of pickled daikon.
Kevin Pelton
up here don't like the daikon.
Ben Baldwin, did you eat that? You ate the pickle. Wow.
You ate mine.
Mature.
You know who was also mature at lunch today when we eat? When we eat, that's my sushi moment for the day. So that's good. I just want to congratulate ourselves. We did go to Mo'ono today. It was great. We ate. It was Guga.
You
and,
have
and
jobs?
It was Kevin and I.
What? You're constantly having lunch and I'm never invited.
I invited you.
You did not invite
me. I didn't invite you, but that's very nice to know he did. I will say that the highlight of the meal was not the chicken sandwich, but it was us razzing Kevin about being famous. And then him, 2 minutes later, says, and one time I was having dinner with Sam Hinkie and Daryl Morey. As one does. And of course we all said, what?
I did not say as one does. So we're gonna pee?
No, I just got late on the show here.
Okay.
Wait, you got what? 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 You got the pee?
There you go. Okay.
Oh my God! Wait, I'm gonna try to throw this hat.
Oh!
I did the throwing sound though.
I look like a Garoppolo throw.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. We
have 10 minutes. So
CJ Beathard
tried the chicken sandwich. What I gotta say about the chicken sandwich is when you bite in, it has that level of oil and grease that you want, but it's not too
what
greasy.
What level of heat did you get, Zach?
I got the medium. As everyone,
the medium's kind of hot. Should,
I felt the opposite.
Wow.
Medium's a little close to mild. Yeah.
Zach right, Whitman just go. Called
the
me
the medium
bitch.
Just had flavor. but what was good, so one, the sandwich is juicy. We went back today, so I went a week ago, had to go back because it is so important to be fresh and to be really have ethics
absolutely.
In sandwich
that's
judging,
why I haven't
right?
been to any of those locations in three
right.
weeks.
If I had to offer one criticism, it's that the chicken is so good that you don't get to fully appreciate the bun until you don't have chicken left.
Wow.
Because the chicken does, it overpowers to some extent.
Are you getting Rachel's? Are you getting Rachel's drinks at the same time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not. I didn't get one today, being during the workday. But when I went last week, I did. It was during happy hour. It was great. Got a Moscow Mule. It was delicious. So I have to say, great
shouts
time.
Shouts to Rachel's ginger beer.
Shouts to Rachel's ginger beer.
No question about that.
This was also tough for me because I work very close to Tats. It's a favorite. It's legendary. And so I will say that I went in as a partisan. Now, am I allowed to set that aside? Yes, because I have that kind of range. But
that's ethics.
But going in, it was tough because the breakfast at Tats is phenomenal. I do
there's
do
breakfast?
There's phenomenal
yeah.
breakfast.
Like Taco at Tats. Time in Bellingham?
Yes.
There's breakfast?
All right, you don't have time for it.
All right. So going to the...
No.
We're getting to the Josh
Tats breakfast is absolutely excellent. But
there's breakfast?
We just did this. We're in a loop now. Yeah.
A-Rod was on the Mariners?
All right. So I would say I went to the other coast expecting not to love it, kind of thinking I didn't want to love it. And
I mean, it's
it was,
just a turkey sandwich.
It was just a turkey sandwich. It was absolutely phenomenal. The salsa mayo is so good. It's so satisfying. The baguette is perfect. It's crispy, but it's chewy. It's not too hard. It's not flaking off. It's perfect. Sumptuous bite with every single, it's just all the way through. Phenomenal.
I told this to Zach yesterday. even without the turkey, if you just did it as a flatbread with the cheese and the sauce, that's
stop
one of Seattle's best sandwiches.
Subway.
Dianu. Yeah, so what I would say on that is actually they're underselling the turkey. I don't think it's just like Safeway
now.
Turkey.
This is like the best
like podcast. It is we're both excellent. Standing. We're it is excellent turkey. It is excellent sauce. But the last three bites where you just have like the leftover sauce and the bread is phenomenal. Also, the fact that when you get the 14-inch sandwich, it comes as two sandwiches. Highly confusing, but also amazing.
I went with my friend who wasn't eating. She was like, did you order for me? I was like, no, I didn't. This is all for me.
Okay, what about Tats?
So I love Tats. And it was, I had to put it aside because going in, obviously, you want your team to win. I'm a Seahawks fan. I'm a Sounders fan. I'm in the same city as the Mariners. So obviously there's a lot of allegiance there.
The one guy who came wearing a Mariners shirt is really having a tough night.
Who's that? Wait. Show yourself. Woo! There you go. You if we had more hats, we'd give you one. There we go.
Mike Zanino did nothing wrong.
Mike Zanino did nothing wrong. So if we hadn't thrown all of our Taco Time gift certificates or hats, we would give you one for being a Mariners fan because we're sorry. Anyway.
Tats is delicious. It's very, very good. It's very, very good. I went in wanting to love it, and I loved it. All three sandwiches were great at this point. I had to go back to Mo'ono to remind myself of that again. Are we doing the vote now?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Should I start? Because I feel like this is going a certain way, and I'm really depressed about the way it's going.
All right. I don't know which way you think it's going, but give us your vote.
There is no sandwich
one
that
person
has
one vote.
A higher high. You're telling God, this is not a recorded podcast. You can't tell me
it
to hold the mic closer.
The
Jesus Christ!
Let's go!
Did the tats draw me? Give me a head. There we go. Woo! The tats draw me is the best sandwich in Seattle, fucking Washington. Tell me something wrong, Kevin Pelton of ESPN. Tell us what the best sandwich
doesn't
in Seattle.
Does he have to give
Washington
a second
is
and third place?
I put tats last.
I mean, these are all great sandwiches. You had the other coast ahead of Tats?
I went to the other coast in Tats back-to-back on Wednesday. I had to limit myself to the 7-inch
sandwich. Let's hear your sandwich credentials.
I've
never had a sandwich before you were born. Never had a sandwich before. If you think there are two sandwiches better than a Tats,
the other coast has been my number one sandwich in Seattle for like a fucking decade now. But...
boo! Last!
It's still ahead of Tats. But it's been surpassed by Mo'ono. It was close. Mo'ono wins.
Ben, which sandwiches have you had?
I know that Mo'ono is the best one. It's the only one I've had.
To be clear, earlier today, Ben admitted he would take a replacement-level chicken sandwich over a turkey sandwich. So talk about sandwich credentials. He has
right.
No taste.
All right, Zach, so we have three choices here, Zach. Do the right thing. Do the right thing like Mookie. You could choose the wild card. You could go the other coast. You could go Tats, which is the right choice. Or you could vote for Mo'ono chicken sandwich.
Don't pronounce it like that.
Zach.
Does anyone else here watch like the Love Island UK? Very, very out there. But they have like the thing
a
where like
a lot more Love Island UK fans like, out there than Mariners fans.
Shouts to Love Island UK. They have this thing where they say, like, the girl or boy I'd like to couple up with. And going through these sandwiches, you have to think about what sandwich do I want to be with? For a lot, what sandwich is there for the long haul? What sandwich is good enough that I'm not looking around for other sandwiches?
This is why this is the decider, guys.
We're doing the segment that you don't want to do because of this vote. We're enemies now. We're no longer that's the issue. We're no longer Pelton brothers. You're Pelton and I'm Carcino from this day forward. Anyway, Zach, what is Seattle's best sandwich?
The sandwich I'd like to couple up with, and the best sandwich in Seattle is the Mo'ono chicken sandwich.
Alright, it's time for the fan vote.
Alright. My phone auto did a thank you scribble. Thanks, iPhone. Okay. By show of vote from the fans, by show of woos, is the other coast the best sandwich in Seattle? No fucking way. Is Ma'ono the best sandwich in Seattle? All right, people. Is Tats the best sandwich in Seattle? You heard it right there.
That's
Tats
Ma'ono.
Is the best
That's
sandwich
Ma'ono.
In Seattle.
That's Ma'ono.
I gotta check your phone.
Okay,
what
but
about Popeyes?
Wait, the other coast one?
The other coast
the other
one.
Coast
Nobody
the other
here.
Coast
There's
bucks.
A silent majority for the other coast.
Wow.
Okay, people. We wanted to end. Thank you so much to Zach for joining us and crowning the wrong chicken sandwich. Thank you so much to Ben Baldwin, to Mike Seahawkscout, to Infrared, to Michael Sawyer, to the famous Cousin Katie, to Screwdriver Bar, to Randy, to Grinch, to every single one of you in the house.
To Rainier for the Tall Boys.
To Rainier for the Tall Boys and Josh. Josh, can we bring you to the stage? Okay.
We need a little sandwich time.
Let
me get a little sandwich time, guys.
There's going to be no Brazilian metal show now. I'm so sorry.
You guys voted other coast with the fucking flour all over.
We voted against
them. And just crunchy.
We voted against the
other coast. And you guys didn't vote Tats? They get their fucking bread flown in daily from Philly. And y'all are on some bullshit. Y'all don't know. I trust you.
You're on some bullshit. You're on some bullshit.
Also,
you're on some bullshit. You're
also,
on some Taco Time shit.
If we're going to be real, we're going to bring up people to talk about sports, and I got to listen to a dude with no fucking keys on his lanyard? Come on. What is this? What is this? Got a visor on it? It's sunny outside.
All right, Josh. To close this out, we wanted to close with a segment called Josh Sainer Talks About the 49ers While People Boo Him. Tell us about the 49ers, Josh.
5-time Super Bowl champions. Yes, I was alive for all of those.
How many do you remember, though?
How long ago was that?
It was a while ago. But
they didn't have internet back then.
Not according to Al Gore, they didn't.
Ooh. I don't know.
So anyway.
Al Gore. Tell
anyway,
us about the 49ers.
49ers. Well, we're going to go 10-6. 10-6. 10-6.
No.
10-6.
Boo.
That's not. Hey.
Who's the best quarterback in 49ers history since Steve Young?
Jeff Garcia.
Thank you, Infrared. For the assist there.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Probably it's Garcia. Yeah, thank you.
Who's the best quarterback in the 49ers right this second?
Nick Mullins.
That might be true as well. Thank you. I'm sorry I made fun of your lanyard now.
Nick Mullins did nothing wrong.
But, yeah.
Who's the best former Seahawk on the 49ers?
Right now?
Right this second.
Ooh, we cut Malcolm... Whatever. Smith,
Super
yeah.
MVP.
Super Bowl 48 MVP Malcolm Smith.
You're not saying sure?
Listen, come y'all on. Got lucky. We yo.
Did you pay for Richard Sherman to unblock you on Twitter?
No, but thank you, Keith. Yeah.
He paid for Richard Sherman to unblock you
no,
on Twitter?
No, no, it just naturally happened. Sherm knows. Hey, Sherm's on our side now.
Who's
fuck y'all.
Okay,
fuck the Seahawks.
When Richard Sherman...
Y'all did him dirty.
Boo.
Y'all ain't gonna pay the guy?
When Richard Sherman... when Richard Sherman is inaugurated into the Hall of Fame, is he a Seahawk or a 49er?
Right now?
He's obviously a Seahawk.
Well, he'll be a 49er because we're gonna win the Super Bowl this year.
Boo! That's it.
He literally.
Put that money up. Who got that money?
Last worst play in 49ers history.
What did Jerry Rice play for when he set all the records?
Raiders. Set the records or ended? No, he had already set the records.
No, the record
was
set.
No, hold on. Okay, hold on. How much time we got? Give me a couple minutes.
No time. Oh, God.
Just give me a couple minutes.
We've already gone 2 minutes over.
Okay, so DJ Infrared, born in New York.
Yes.
Boo.
Who can now be a Yankees fan and a
I just see him as a Russell Wilson fan.
Okay, well, I'm from the team desert. I can choose. You choose different random allegiances.
You grew up
how they
Ryan
work.
West Ranch. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying. You can't choose one of those. You can't ride Yankees and then just give up on the Giants. Right? No, that's correct, right? You can't choose part of that. You're not like, I moved here when I was 10, and I was a Yankees fan, but all of a sudden I love
that Grinch is filming every second of this.
Yeah, because he knows.
It's all going
straight about this
to
later
Jake
dates.
One in Japan. I can't wait for him to wake up. Anyway.
Fuck you, Jake.
Fuck Jimmy Garoppolo.
I hope you listen
fuck
to
Nick
this.
Mullins. Hope C.J. Beathard starts 9 games for the U this year. Go Tevin Coleman.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for joining us at Pelton, the third annual Peltoncast Live.
Thank you.
On that note, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Grinch, you want to do an impromptu rap set real quick?
Yeah. Woo. Pro 49ers rap set.
I
want
to hear Brazilian metal. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Kevin, Jake Browning, no mention of the Jakes.
It's true.
Talk about Jake once so much.